It's not unusual to find ourselves in a place where, on the one hand, we know that God loves us, but on the other, it seems like God's love is missing in action. It can be a difficult and confusing time. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at God's love from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet, The Power of Love. I'd love to send you a copy to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. I was standing in an elevator in a hotel in Chicago recently, and depending on where you live, you may have noticed that they now have LCD screens in elevators these days. They flash up the latest news and the weather forecast, and they advertise everything under the sun. I guess they figure they have a captive audience, so they might as well use the time to sell us something. And this day, they flashed up the latest top 10 songs in the charts. And I know that this isn't going to be any surprise to you, but what do you think that the first three songs were about? Yep, you guessed it. Love. In fact, a very particular kind of love. As I recall, each of the top three songs had quite a raunchy title. Touch My Body by Mariah Carey, Love in This Club by Usher and Young Jeezy, and 4 Minutes by Madonna and Justin Timberlake. And the lyrics of these songs bear out my point. And that appears to be the level to which we've reduced love in our popular culture. It's such a superficial picture of love, isn't it? But you know something, in this world, that's what we're fed all the time. It's like the air that we breathe. That's what we're told that love is. One-way traffic that heads towards my gratification. That's because love involves putting others ahead of ourselves. That's what real love is. And that is just not the pattern of this world. Before I became a Christian, I never considered putting others ahead of me. The thought never crossed my mind. It doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to look very far to see that kind of thinking. Whether you're in downtown Chicago or in the heart of an African refugee camp. People are so often in things because of what they can get out of the things. I know that sounds pretty bleak and cynical. And yes, there are some good people out there. But this world is also full of hurting people. People who desperately need to be loved and yet never find anyone who'll stick by them through thick and thin. Over my lifetime, I've been through that, through some dark and lonely places, some scary places. And even in those places, we are made to be loved. Our deepest need in our hearts is to be loved by someone, accepted unconditionally, just the way we are. And I'm so conscious when I'm sharing this that there are people listening today who, well, their heart aches. And I have no doubt that what I'm saying brings tears to some people's eyes. Maybe that's where you are right now. I want to tell you something of the love of God today, a love that never fails, a steadfast love that persists through thick and through thin. I'm going to share with you something of a story of a man called Job. There's a whole book about Job in the Old Testament, just before the book of Psalms. He was a good and a godly man. He never did anything wrong. And yet, God allowed the devil loose on this man. He lost everything, all his possessions, his family, his health. He had these horrible sores that afflicted his skin. And none of it made any sense because he said to God, look, I haven't done anything wrong. Have a listen to how Job pleaded his case before God. It's from Job chapter 6. Job said, if only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas. No wonder my words have been impetuous. The arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks on their poison. God's terrors are marshaled against me. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for, that God would be willing to crush me, to let loose his hand and cut me off. You see how desperate Job is. That's how it feels when we're going through that sort of stuff. And the thought that crosses my mind as I read through the book of Job and I see the affliction that the devil brings on Job with God's permission is, how can a loving God allow this? Now, this crossed Job's mind too, just once or twice. And he keeps on asking God, why are you doing this to me? You know, God never gives up on Job. And the only answer that he gives Job is that, well, I'm God and I will do as I please. Can I ask you a question? Where is God's love in that? In Job chapter 30, verses 20 to 21, he says, I cry to you and you don't answer me. I stand and you just look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. All the time, Job cries out to God, and yet he never speaks against God. He never turns against God. He never turns away from God. And what I love is how frank and open Job is with God about how he feels. There's a lesson in that. Job tells God exactly how he feels, the pain and the frustration. None of this makes sense, all this pain, all my loss. And yet still Job can say this, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, then my flesh will see God. How often have we been in a place where all hell seems to be breaking loose? And the love of God seems like such a distant thing, such an impossible thing, such an utterly, well, almost like it's a figment of someone's imagination. Sometimes, like Job, we think God is punishing us for something. He must be, but he isn't. We try to discover what God's doing and why, but we can't. Sometimes we'll never find out why we had to travel through those difficult times. And yet, through all of that, God is love. His unfailing love never ceases. Listen to how the story of Job ends. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble that God had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Nowhere in all the land were found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived to 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died old and full of years. God's love never, ever fails. Doesn't matter what we see with our eyes and what we feel with our hearts and our bodies. God's love never, ever fails. I know that my Redeemer lives. We all have things in us that aren't what they should be. Perhaps that's why the self-help and motivation industries are worth multiple billions of dollars the world over. But none of those things even begin to compare to the power of God's love in transforming our lives for the better. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.